Okay, this is the Finance and Facilities Committee meeting of Monday, October 22nd, and we are ready to begin our agenda. And first up, our approval of minutes from our last meeting. Anybody, Steve, Dan, Drew, any comments on that?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. Then I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'd like to skip on the agenda down to the Hadley remodeling project because Chris Abbott, our LMC director from Hadley, is here with us. And so we thought if there were any specific questions you might have for him, that he would be here to help out. And Bob, of course, is long distance here to walk us through as well the process. But I'll go ahead and start. Karen is here. Bob, Julie, we've all been participating in the Hadley redesign. And as you know from previous conversations, we began this process last year by meeting with a group of teachers and some parents. And Chris Dranzoff spearheaded that and did a lot of brainstorming with the group in terms of what a 21st century learning center might look like. And what you have on the smart board right now is the current configuration and display of that. And I think we've shared some of this with you already. Would that be accurate? Is that my memory correct on that, that we've already shared some of this with you? And and I think, you know, Chris, I'm going to ask you to jump in because I think there's some really important pieces to this design that really relate to insights that Chris had. But most importantly, I think, is, you know, knowing, not most importantly, one of the first things to know is that we've moved the front entrance to the Hadley LMC in order to create it as a much more dominant entrance as you come down the main hall at Hadley. And that the circular area here is really designed to draw you in from the outside. And then you see the circle is repeated throughout. You've heard us talk about the presentation room, and that is this room right to your left as you walk into the center. One of the things, and Chris, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about this, but the circulation desk, which we've moved and put into the middle, and it's a quite transparent and open configuration, and that was really your thinking around that.
It was. The idea there was to make the library staff, myself, much more accessible to kids, especially if there's a lot of research going on, which there will be. Small group presentations, small group work, collaborative work. It just makes us a lot more accessible to the kids and to facilitate the type of learning activities that, you know, we see taking place there.
And so the design really is very open with just some closed areas along each of the perimeter walls in order to have small group work that might need a more private space. And then this is designed as a quiet reading area for those 10 to 15 students who just like to be in a much more combined, more intimate place, a little less quiet. The configuration of all of the furniture throughout the main area of the library will be flexible seating that can be changed, moved, altered, and it'll be a combination of desks for students to work at, or tables, I should say, rather than desks, and softer seating. The stacks are arranged around the perimeter as well so that they can, and they're all mobile. Some stacks will be included in the enclosed rooms as well, so that students who need to access would need to go into those rooms. up here are the two labs. This lab is the media creation lab with a green room, and then this will be Mr. T's Mac lab, moved into what is currently two special education rooms that we're going to find other spaces in the building for them to be in. There's going to be design lines, and did Bob show you the architectural drawings last time?
We have them here too as an attachment. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I'm not able. I don't know where they're at here. Maybe George.
Yes.
Would you try looking in the files that are on there that have, see if there's a file that has something else about the LMC that might have these drawings.
But the idea is to draw our attention out to the courtyard so that everything kind of lines up to that courtyard image. And if you've got them, those individual drawings on your laptops, you certainly can scroll through those.
You want a couple colored pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a PDF.
But I don't know where they are in the file.
So the labs are back here in these windows?
Right. If you look on your own, you can scroll through just those drawings to see what... to what questions you might have. But they're, the colors are not actual colors. They're just colors to give us a rendering and to show the 3D nature of the redesign. We have taken this back to the small brainstorming group to get further ideas. They did give us a few additional ideas for tweaking when we met with them last week. And then next week we'll be going to the full Hadley staff in order to give them a presentation and get their feedback on this.
So Mr. T's room is going to be up on the... Sorry, we lost it.
Can we back up again?
Mr. T's room will be here.
Okay, there's no window though.
There'll be a door that goes out into the hallway. And when you say a window, like to natural lighting?
Right.
Well, there wouldn't. There isn't in his current setting.
Yeah.
He's down in the cave.
He's downstairs.
You know, he's downstairs, and this does not have natural lighting either.
Oh, okay.
But they will have plenty of light, and there'll be windows. You know, lots of glass.
Okay.
So that there'll be light, and they'll be able to see into the learning center.
We have other rooms that don't have windows too.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought there was a window on that basement level.
No. Well, there might. Yeah, there's a little window at the top.
Yeah, going out to the courtyard.
Yeah.
It's beneath ground level, so there isn't a lot of
light.
Okay.
One of the things that we're looking at right now, and this is going to be, I think, bid as an alternate, is whether or not to put a Nana wall in there. It's going to be a glass wall no matter what, but the Nana wall would allow this whole area then to come back open completely for flexibility of space over time. The reason we're going to do it as an alternate is rather expensive, and so rather than put it in with the base bid, we would be putting it in as an alternate.
How much is a lot?
About $50,000.
$50,000
between
above.
$50,000 and $75,000.
Yeah, for the
glass wall that could go recess all the way into the wall, so that it now becomes a further open space.
Okay.
I think for long term, it's probably worth the extra money, simply because it gives you added flexibility to that room. But as we look at the cost of all of the different pieces, you know, that'll be part of the decision as to whether or not that's really affordable. Mm-hmm. We had in the original bid, or the original designs, we talked about doing all of this redone with just glass and larger doors all along. We've since changed that to maintain most of the windows as they are and put glass doors where there are current doors, so that will also change the cost of the project from... which might make the other piece more affordable. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to wait and see.
What is the estimated cost of technology, $150,000? What is that?
Well, we have... Mike, are you... did you hear that question?
Yes, I did.
Do you want to answer that at this point?
Sure, I can answer that. What that's going to be allocated for would be the two labs, the Art Tech lab and the main lab, as well as the AV equipment that would be also throughout the through the library. So we'll have a couple of projectors, some smart boards, screens. So it would be those kind of materials that money would be spent for.
And then, as part of the construction cost, the estimated $850,000, I'm trying to understand. Yeah, because I see a lot of technology, I see a lot of furniture. So what I see for the construction is moving the entrance, putting in some glass doors to the courtyard, and creating that presentation space. What else is under construction?
Go ahead.
That space is approximately 9,000 square feet. That space will be stripped down from floor to ceiling, from wall to wall, essentially getting it back to its original construction, and then completely rebuilt. Because of the changing nature of the space itself, there'll be all new mechanical, ceiling, flooring. The floor will be saw cut to provide for electric and technology data lines to the floor instead of trying to string them through the ceiling, or in odd spots throughout the space. So you are really looking for, except for walls, floors, and a roof, you're looking for a complete reconstruction of that area. What I'm seeing right now is a majority, and I think the number might be a little high, but they've given me about a number of about $250,000 for all new mechanical. Now, that will not include new HVAC or anything like that. We'll be using the existing equipment there, but new ductwork and things of that nature. I think it's a little high. I think the price will come in a little bit cheaper than that, but I just wanted to make sure that my bases were covered when providing you with a reasonable cost estimate.
Mike, this is Erica. I have a quick question back on technology. How much of Frank's lab is going to be moving upstairs? Is it a shift up, or are we? It looks like we're increasing the opportunity in that space.
Well, for Frank's lab, that's really a complete redesign of the lab. Mm-hmm. The equipment will be different than what he's had in the past. So, and his lab was up for refresh anyway this year. So, yes, he'll have some different opportunities up there. There'll be new equipment, but it'll also be all Mac equipment in both his lab and in the main lab in the library. So it should be a significant difference from what he has now. So I don't look at it so much as moving him and his existing equipment upstairs as much as we're going to replace all of that equipment with new. Mm-hmm.
And if my memory serves me, it will be one Mac per two students with other mobile devices, so not a lab of just one-to-one. Mm-hmm.
Right. What we talked about were more like 15 desktops, mm-hmm. you know, given the space that those will take up, and then supplementing with some mobile technology, you know, whether those are tablets or laptops or camcorders, those sorts of things that will be smaller, more mobile, to better utilize that space.
Okay. Thank you.
I just had another question. So I was just reviewing some of the timeline here. It says request support to go out to bid. We don't actually go out to bid until the board takes action in November.
Right.
That would be the second board meeting in November when we'll be requesting that the board support us to go out to bid for the project itself.
This meeting is requesting your support to take to the board the proposal to go out to bid.
Because I still struggle with a project like this for a couple different reasons. One is, you know, we've talked about building a new school at some point and then Hadley becoming another elementary or whatever. And just, you know, do we really want to pour this type of dollar? I mean, I could see putting some new furniture, seeing if there's some new ways to reconstruct, but when you're talking about tearing it down to the bare bones and rebuilding it up, I'd rather see, you know, maybe that money put into a new building or whatever, you know, we're looking at in terms of master's facilities plan. Mm-hmm. Also, too, you know, I'm always wanting to look for more labs, STEM labs, et cetera. I know we have a proposal to do that on the elementary. I'm not sure what we have a plan for Hadley. But, you know, if I had to put my priorities in order, I'd rather see that, you know, something that's, you know, drastically needed now with the push for science and technology, more so than what I would see from a media center. I haven't, you know, any feedback I have received has not said, hey, you know, we got to get this media center up to speed, or we got to do this or that. It's always, hey, what are you guys doing for science? What are you doing for that? And so
I'm sorry, Dan. Feedback from the
just talking to community members.
Communities.
What is the condition of the current Hadley labs?
Well, the science, our science curriculum is able to be conducted in the current science rooms and the labs that are in there. We don't have reconfigured labs with other technologies that might go into a STEM lab. We'll be in the process, you know, when we talk about priorities for us. The first priority would be to get the STEM curriculum established after the science standards are approved, and that will push a change in the curriculum and to let the curriculum drive then what those STEM labs would look like at the junior high, and whether or not they're going to be integrated to the same extent that we're looking at the elementary being integrated. That would require a whole nother kind of shift from a program standpoint at Hadley than just constructing labs for STEM. You know, if they're going to be integrated, that's a much larger change, would you say, Karen, than just putting in a lab. And right now we wouldn't have the curriculum to drive that change exactly.
I know. It's just, I've been talking about it ever since I've been on the board. I've personally been frustrated, you know, seeing courtyard, parking lot, and now a media center. Like to see us put some more focus on direct classroom experiences, specifically with science and technology.
I think, and Chris, you might want to talk a little bit more about this. The vision for the LLC is not that it's a place for literacy, or that it is, it's an environment for just one academic area, but that it really is the hub of the school as we implement the Common Core around the new research standards, that project-based learning can take place in there because it will be set up for those kinds of things. So it really is a multi-use environment, not just an environment for kids to go get books and do that kind of work that you might associate with a more traditional lab. And Chris, talk a little bit about your vision for that space.
So, as you said, it would be a hub for, excuse me, I'm fighting a cold, so I'm not projecting as I might usually. The space would be utilized by all staff. Right now, it's pretty much utilized by our literacy teachers. This would be a space where students could not only access information, which is the traditional mode of school libraries, but create it also, using the multimedia tools that will be in place, and then also publishing that work, having the new space be a forum for publishing that sort of innovative work that we're looking for kids to experience in the future.
Mm-hmm. Karen, do you have anything you want to...
Well, we just see that this STEM is going to be a part of that. More from kind of that presentation, although we know that with the different tools that kids can access in there, that there would be occasions where the science class might come down to be able to access it. I do see, though, the potential once the new Common Core science standards are released, as we look at revamping that curriculum. But I don't know, because we already have existing science labs, I don't envision this through a total overhaul, as opposed to what are the other things that we need to kind of complement it. But Chris and Frank and I have already had some conversations about wanting to be sure that we create teaching opportunities for staff so that the science teacher knows some of the things to be able to access, our social studies teachers, things like that. And that all of the kids, you know, kind of rotate through whatever class just so that we want to be sure we're maximizing it. And we like the idea of everyone having access and not limiting it. Even in the more traditional areas of literacy and that, our kids need to get beyond a PowerPoint. You know, that's kind of old school now with technology, even though I still use them. But, you know, what are those kind of next steps or newer ways of presenting, students bring a lot to the table. And this will have kind of the two different platforms, which are kids, it will benefit them if they get to West, because West also has both platforms. And so adding this, the MAC experiences will give our kids that additional opportunity as they enter and being able to work kind of on both platforms.
I think we felt that starting with the LMC in terms of a revision, a paradigm shift in terms of 21st century learning, that the LMC is the one area where everyone in the school can access it, not just our science or our math students or just our literacy students. So we feel like we can begin to take those steps that you're actually talking about in this environment. There's nothing to prohibit that from occurring. And as Karen said, you know, we're adding technology to all of our classrooms, you know, annually. So this also allows us to make adjustments in the current lab environments that we have. The other thing that you mentioned is, you know, if we decide to build a junior high, what happens to this space? And we would envision this space remaining as it is for an elementary school. Should an elementary school be placed in there, or if it's going to be a junior high, if that's what we end up doing, then we've already talked about we wouldn't make any changes to our existing facilities that aren't going to remain in a renovation that we would do.
Well, I didn't mean to say it wouldn't stay that way. I'm just, you know, the investment into it, if it turned out not to be the junior high.
I think it's maybe this will. This helped me get some context, and I have a brief board report that I'm going to do later. But at CIT last Thursday, the think tank teams for focus areas all presented, and what helped me, you know, understand what Ann's been presenting, reading our transformative actions vis-a-vis the long range plan, is this kind of, I guess I would call it a domino effect of these pieces linking up. And then this morning, Karen came to PTA Council, and I asked her the question, you know, we are talking about STEM and mostly STEAM because we want to build in that art piece. So for the leadership that was at the PTA Council meeting, I asked Karen, talk a little bit about what we mean by engineering, because I think that gets not lost in translation, but is not understood that, in fact, we're doing engineering curriculum already with the robotics that have been built in at Hadley and some other pieces to that. And, you know, even with, and I'll go back to the courtyard because I know there's a couple board members that still have questions about, you know, the value add of that. But, you know, some of, I'm on a little link that Mr. T, that Frank sends. And some of the pictures that he sent and the work that's been in there, I think we're not privy to. And one of those, which I think speaks to what you're asking questions about, Dan, are math classes out there using the sunlight and angles and all those kind of things so that they're doing real-time activities outside of a regular classroom setting. But we don't, you know, we don't see that. We aren't privy to some of that, where they're being much more creative about using that space in ways that I think lead back to where this, where you know, this is heading in terms of the 21st century model, which is over here, but those pieces that add up. So, you know, my question is really around the dollars, and, you know, my experience has been that you and Bob don't bring things to the table that haven't been already plugged into existing budget. And, again, the board's talked about having you know, dollars, not wanting to be holding on to dollars, but be using those in ways that help to build toward our long-range plan. So,
well, we think this also ties pretty is pretty closely aligned with the master facilities plan, mm-hmm. and you know, the direction that we were given from that steering committee that you should do things in the short term mm-hmm. that you can within your budget dollars to transform your facilities and continue moving forward, not where you're transforming something that's going to be torn down, obviously,
right.
But that those are the things that begin to create the facilities of the future that you want to see overall. So the question for this group is, and Steve, Dan, I think, has expressed an objection to the overall project as opposed to and its connection to other priorities. Steve, do you have any thoughts on moving this forward for discussion to the board?
Yeah, I think it should be brought forward to the board.
Okay. Drew, how about you? And then,
I don't have any issues bringing it forward. I just wanted to express
my yeah, absolutely. So if there aren't further questions, I know that the other thing I just want to mention before we move on to our next topic is that we have identified other capital projects in this report that fall under additional costs and information. The creation of the STEM labs at the elementary schools. We will be painting, requesting painting of Hadley, which would be our last building to be painted, and continued implementation of the 21st Century Classroom at the elementary buildings, and then some small district-led projects. And so when we look at all of these, then, you know, our total summer projects at this moment without going out to bid would total almost $1.7 million, which is a little more than we normally spend. But Bob has reserved that in the budget.
Those are just the additionals?
They're right.
1.7
additionals. No. 1.7. Bob, I believe it's 1.7.
In other projects, down at the bottom of the page, it says
additional for, and Hadley is a separate cost of
1,250,000.
Mm-hmm. And so the board has asked us previously if our reserves are exceeding the 25% that the board approved, mm-hmm. what are the things we'd recommend spending them on? And this is an area we think the Hadley LMC is an area that we certainly, if reserves weren't appropriate at that appropriate level, that we would suggest using some of that money for this. Any other questions? Okay, Chris, thank you, especially when you're not feeling very well.
No,
thanks for coming out and joining us this evening.
If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call or email. Mm-hmm.
Or even if some of us want to pop over for a tour, kind of get the feel of the room and all that, might be helpful. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. We're going to move back up to the top of the agenda. Lori, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And this is the request for a change in the pay structure for our lunchroom supervisors. And I think you can tell from Lori's report, which is very thorough, that this is a restructuring based on inequities that we have in our current process for paying our lunchroom supervisors, which is per session. And the session varies in length at each of our buildings. And so we have some buildings that have been underpaid, some have been overpaid, well, not overpaid, but paid according to that structure. And as we looked at a way to redesign, it really came down to following really fair labor practices, and that is to move to an hourly rate. And Lori, do you want to talk a little bit about the research that you did coming into this recommendation?
Yes, we had to, first of all, take a look at it. Most recently, there was a change in Churchill's lunch hour just this last year to extend it even further. And I believe Franklin's may have extended also this mm-hmm. year. So we knew some last year that there were inequities in terms of how much the different groups were paid, consulted with our attorney in terms of what would be the best way to go with this. Do we keep a first session or daily, a daily rate, or do we switch to an hourly rate? And the advice from our attorney was to switch to an hourly rate. Then looking at basically Forest Glen and Lincoln, which run just one lunch hour, trying to make them whole, so to speak, based on a new hourly rate, eventually we came up with a $20 an hour. It gets them pretty close to $26.67, which would be their new daily rate if this, moves forward, and would equalize the other schools. It would result in a reduction in the rate of pay for the Franklin supervisors, but we would give them some more time before we would implement that. So if they decided this was now good work they no longer wanted to do, that they could make that decision. Is there more you wanted me to talk about?
No, I think that's great. Thank you. Board member questions? Dan, you sent questions, and I gave you a little bit of a response, and I suggested that Lori would just, you know, be able to give you more information if you wanted. When
yeah, I mean, I think it totally makes sense to go to an hourly rate. My only issue was with the actual hourly rate. You know, like when I compare it to some of the other, you know, people we have, physicians, instructional aides, reading assistants, comparative, it's quite high, much higher. And I did a cursory search on the internet, like on Meredith's Mark Board, just to see comparison, and it seems like the, you know, $10, $11, $12 an hour is what I was typically seeing out there. So that's, you know, my only question is on the cost. I mean, I could see if, I don't know, are these teachers staff in the building, or are these outside community members?
These are outside community members. Teachers have a different rate that is contractual.
So it's $20 a session, Dan, for our teachers that work the lunch session. And, I, you know, in looking back, it, you know, we did some research on what the rate of pay has been over the years. And looking back to the GIA contract 2004-2008, it's $20 a session for teachers. And I don't know, but I can only guess that that may be where this hourly rate started from. Because if we look back at 2005-2006, then it was $23.39 an hour. So that's pretty, you know, not too far off from that. They do not have any benefits. Our full-time instructional aides do have health benefits, life insurance, dental benefits, and the HRA offered to them. So that's kind of a difference, too. You know, these people come in, they work at 1 hour, maybe 2 hours on a daily basis, supervising, you know, large group of kids on a ratio of typically 1 to 50, either outside or inside in all weather. So I think your question is a good one, but that's kind of where we're coming from.
And Lori did a little bit of a research, and as I indicated in my email to Dan, the rates went in different districts. Des Plaines 62 is at $28 in something per hour. Elmhurst is at 1846. So there, and then it goes down to like $9-$10 an hour. So there is a huge range. We just felt, quite frankly, that we weren't able to do that kind of a dramatic change, that people would lose that kind of money after they've been. And I know nobody is probably making a living as lunchroom supervisor, but to go from $26 an hour or $26 a session, which in some cases would be $26 an hour, down to 12 or 11, just seemed that we'd be not getting anyone to take that role, given the history and as much time as they've been doing this at this rate.
Mm-hmm. Lori, how difficult is it to fill these positions?
The principals would say it's pretty difficult because it's hard to find someone who will just want to come in for that short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that schedule, too, middle of the day type of.
Well, and finding someone that's good at it.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, to manage kids out on the playground, making sure that, you know, your first line of defense with any issue that happens from a, you know, a conflict resolution standpoint, safety, first aid,
bullying. I mean, most of our discipline issues tend to occur during the lunch time.
Well, I did go over to Churchill to try out the hot lunch a couple weeks ago and see how the process worked. And I had forgotten how loud and
lunches.
Just active it is. That it's there's just a lot of activity.
Dan, I think your question is a good one. I think that we have
question.
The history of we are where we are. How do you feel about making that drastic a change to that employee group? Is that something that you'd want us to look into?
I just was wanting to understand, you know, where this came from, just from doing cursory research.
Mm-hmm.
I know some districts, I think they're considered part of their passing year contract. Or one district I looked at said the contracted rate. Maybe they were just paralleling with a teacher contract.
They probably do the contracted rate, like as a parallel to that. We didn't. I would be surprised if any of these groups are part of a union unless they work 5 hours. Now, junior high, that could possibly happen, and we do have Don't we have a couple employees at Hadley that are part of AFSCME?
No, they're not,
because they're not in our district. They're not our employees. They're Mark Wart's employees.
And, Laura, you're saying that this would take effect immediately, except for Ben Franklin, where it would go into place on February 1, right?
Correct.
And then, and so the dollars, the total amount is 134 plus, you know, 200. Is that, obviously this wasn't budgeted, but obviously there's dollars that you're able to use to cover this.
Well, the delta is not that amount. The delta is 34,000, Lori?
It's increases less than 24,000 in the first year. You're right. Yep. Delayed start.
Yeah. And of course that, you know, and that's dependent upon all of these, when this goes into effect in terms of what the actual.
Right. Okay.
But we are not intending to do retro, and we wanted to give the Franklin staff a little bit longer. In case they chose not to participate, and give them a chance.
And the projection is based on a full year, and this would not take effect in a full year.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that.
And my only other question was just the time difference. I was just, you know, I'm only familiar with Lincoln intimately, but why is, you know, the other ones, you know, two, or I understand Hadley because there's all those staggered lunches, but like Churchill.
Churchill has three lunch periods, and so does Franklin.
So do they have, is their lunch room smaller than Lincoln, so to speak?
It's like a multi-purpose room.
Okay, so it's just a matter of maximum number of kids.
And we look at lunch every year. You know, we would love to have every school on a one lunch period, and that's, you know, a goal, but there are just physical limitations to that in some cases. Even the playground, the amount of kids we can put out on the playground at one time, particularly at Churchill.
Yeah.
We have a very small hardscape area.
If
we would put underground detention in there, we could
bring
use that.
All that mud into
huge field. For the week it's dry, it's great. Any other questions? Steve, any questions?
No. I'm fine with the hourly rates.
Okay. Drew, any further questions? Okay, then the two-year budget forecast is next. And, Bob, I'll let you walk us through that if you could.
Sure. Attached to the forecast, which is in an Excel spreadsheet, you also have a board report there that lays out the assumptions that were made in this presentation. I'll just briefly go over those and then the numbers. The property taxes, the levies were calculated for the 13-14 and 14-15 school year using 3% of CPI, which was for December of 2011, which you are aware of. And then the CPI report came out just last week and are estimating CPI to end this year at approximately 2.5%. New construction is estimated at $12 million. Property values were held flat. I have calls in. I spoke with the assessor's office for DuPage County. He told me he really didn't have a feel for it, that if I needed something, and he typically doesn't have a feel for EAV until around February. So I have calls into each of the assessor's, the township assessor's office, in particular Bob Earl with Milton Township, because they hold the vast majority of our property. So I'll be getting updates to those assumptions very shortly. Just because of lack of anything else right now, other local revenue has been held at this year's level. General stayed at the same level. Other state aid, as you know, we increased by $1 million this year. So given any other information, I held them held it flat for the next 2 years. Federal aid is typically around $500,000. Regarding the expenditures, I don't know that you know, but we anticipate 9 retirements during 2014 and 14 retirements during 2015, and I've increased salaries by 2.5% once these retirements have been accounted for. Benefits I took up by approximately 4%, which is about typical over the past couple of years. Purchase services, supplies, and materials I've held even. capital outlay I did increase given the proposal for the Hadley LMC and the implementation of STEM at the elementary schools, and the other expenses, which are bond and interest and primarily certain tuition payments, I held at last year's level. So then if we go over to the spreadsheet, you'll see in the left-hand column we have the 12-13 projected budget, which, again, the CPI used was 1.5%. These are the actual numbers that the board has seen. Called for total revenue of approximately $45.2 million, total expenditures of approximately $47.4 million, for an overall deficit of approximately $2.2 million. Again, that is driven by the abatement that was a decision that was made last December. Then I go over to 13-14 school year. I am looking at a property tax increase to $43.3 million. And then, again, the assumptions that I've stated previously for total revenue of just in excess of $49.5 million for total with total expenditures of approximately $48.7 million for about an $800,000 surplus. Now, I did get a call from Drew earlier today. He was, you know, a little concerned about this type of increase. But given that we abated the property taxes last year of approximately $2.7 million, and then this year's levy for the bond and interest fund will be $2,840,000, that's around a $5.7, $5.8 million increase, and that's where the majority of those that increase is coming from. Then when I look over to 14-15 school year, again using CPI of 2.5%, I come up with property taxes of just in excess of $44.7 million. Again, the other revenues held essentially flat. Total revenues of approximately $50,939,000. Again, the salaries, actually, we would look for a reduction in salaries in 14-15, just given what we know now in the retirements that are, as we call, in the pipeline. Benefits have gone up again by 4%. Purchase services, supplies, materials, capital outlay, all held at the same, as well as other expenditures, all held out unchanged. Total expenditures of in excess of $48,855,000 for a surplus of approximately $2.1 million. Are there any questions?
Bob, this is Dan. Yep. The only other, you know, I think the one I always ask, is would we know where our fund balance would be as a result of these projected budgets?
That will be brought to the Finance Committee at the board meeting on November 9th. That will have all those projections updated at that time.
Okay, thanks. The other one is for the capital projects that we just reviewed today, which budget am I seeing those reflected in?
FY13.
You're seeing them reflected in the 13-14 budget.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we dropped off.
No.
That's why I upped capital outlay to $2,850,000 to account for the projections for or the recommendations.
And off the top of our head, do we know what it is for 14-15?
For the capital outlay? Well, he's held it at this point at the same rate. And I would project that we would probably use that and either, you know, the expansion of STEM, as well as probably some roofing that would need to be done in 14-15. Is that a fair statement?
I would say continued implementation of STEM, and then also we really need to start taking a serious look at our roofs.
Okay,
so those would be the expectations as we move forward.
And Bob, this is Erica. One last question. The under salaries, we have anticipated retirements. Is there the potential for more retirements? You never know.
There's always potential for more.
Always more retirements, and I believe once they've given a commitment to retire, they are locked into that commitment.
I know that piece, so, okay.
There sometimes are surprises.
Yeah.
We wouldn't imagine a lot.
Yeah.
Bob?
No.
Bob, I have a question really on roofs. What was the last time we had a survey done?
We have a survey done annually. It's presented, whenever I bring the architectural recommendation to you, there's an amount in there for a roof assessment.
So the roofs were okay based on the last assessment.
Yes, we've done some work. Drew, we spend maybe $25,000 to $35,000 a year annually on maintaining our roofs. So we never let them get to a situation where there's a problem. But you've seen some of the shots of the roofs, and there are issues that are beginning to occur. And if we don't address them this year, we should certainly begin to address them next year. Really, the prioritization this year was determined to be the Hadley LMC and the implementation of STEM.
Bob, when was the last time that we had a complete rerun done on the buildings?
I'm going to say 97, and all the roofs were not even done in 97. So I have a roof study that's in my office that has I think I've explained before that the roofs are done in sections, so you never really have all of a particular roof to replace, or rather sections of roofs in buildings, and there are different dates for all of the roofs throughout the district. And there, as I said, if the last one was done in 97, they are 15 plus years. Most roofs are designed right around the 20-year level, or marker, if you will.
And I don't want to rush this discussion, but it is 7:18, and we still have one more item. Are there questions that Bob could just gather from you at this point on the 2-year projection, or that we could, you can just put on the floor right now, and he could answer them for our next finance meeting?
Good.
Steve?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Dan, any further questions? Okay, then, Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Our last item on the finance agenda is the administrator computer refresh, and everything has been laid out for you by Mike, but I'm going to let Mike walk you through that just a little bit in the history of the administrative computers.
Thank you. This recommendation is to provide for new technology for our administrators in the district, and prior to this, we've never really had the administrators on any kind of a refresh cycle, so we kind of got sort of a mixed bag of technology for our administrators right now. Primarily desktops. We have some laptops out there, but they're all aging. And so aside from just getting some new technology for our administrators, this will also bring them on a regular refresh cycle with the rest of the district technology. And when we started looking at technology for our administrators, we were looking at something that could be flexible, portable, yet still powerful enough so our administrators can do the work that they need to do. And what we kind of came up with were the Ultrabook line. Most manufacturers now have some model of Ultrabook, so they're smaller than your typical laptop. They're much lighter, but they're much more powerful than a netbook. So they're much more portable. They will stand up to the rigors of what our administrators will need to do with technology going forward. So the other thing that this would provide for is currently we have desktops and laptops for our administrators. This would kind of combine the platform into one unit rather than having two. So in addition to being able to be mobile with an Ultrabook and go from classroom to classroom or within the district, in their office, we will also provide a port replicator, which is kind of like a docking station. So when they're in their office, they can connect to that port replicator with a single USB cable and then get access to a full-screen monitor, a keyboard, a mouse, all the comforts that they would normally be used to with a desktop, but in fact be using the laptop. So moving forward, we looked at a couple of different models. We looked at the Samsung version, the Asus version, the Acer version, and the HP version to see which would best fit our needs. And after extensive evaluation of those models, we came to the HP Folio, which is a little lower cost than some of the others, but is a little bit more durable as well because it's more of a business line machine rather than consumer level models that we saw on some of the other brands. So moving forward, we'll be looking at 20 total netbooks or laptops rather, for all of our administrators, that would include all the APs, all the principals, as well as all the administrators at CSO. And we contacted a few of our vendors. Heartland and Tiger Direct came in with the lowest costs, and Heartland came in with the lowest cost on the HP. So our recommendation is to move forward purchasing the Folio plus the port replicator through Heartland Business Systems. The other equipment, keyboards, mice, monitors, those would be provided for separately, but we would also utilize some of the equipment that we currently have within the district. So if we have usable monitors, keyboards for our administrators, we would use those rather than replacing what they already have. So moving forward, our recommendation would be to purchase 20 Folio netbooks and port replicators through Heartland Business Systems. And these would be paid for by budgeted dollars from the 2012-2013 school year. Any questions?
Gotta refresh.
Mike, how old are these computers that you're looking to refresh?
I'm sorry. How long will we have them in service?
How old are our current?
Well, yeah, how old they are, or how long they've been in service?
Yeah, our current administrative.
Current administrator equipment. Most of the desktops are probably close to 5 to 6 years old, and the laptops really are. We never purchased anything specifically for administrators, so. It's kind of a hodgepodge as to how old some of those things are. But those would be as well anywhere between 4 and 6 years old.
There's a lot of movement, too, between meetings and, you know, Karen, you're always in the buildings. There's an issue of portability for some of this, too, that's changed.
Yeah, getting rid of the desktop and having just a laptop will be
helpful. And it follows the model in our schools. I mean, that's been our technology plan anyways, to get rid of these big, heavy systems.
Mm-hmm. I have a desktop. Karen has a laptop. No, you have a laptop. I think Phyllis has a laptop. I think most everybody else has a desktop. Julie, you have a desktop. Yeah, so, I mean, we're kind of a hodgepodge.
And then going forward, Mike, this will be part of the technology refresh on a regular cycle.
Yes, sir. Yes, it would be. We would look to replace these in the same refresh cycle we would any laptop or mobile technology. 3 years is about the average lifespan, at least usable lifespan, of a piece of technology like this.
Any other questions for Mike? Then we'll move these items all to discussion in our November 12th meeting.
Mike, what size monitors are you getting?
These are the 13-inch. Most of the Ultrabooks come in the 13-inch monitor.
No, not the Ultrabooks. For
the administrators, we're looking at 22-inch.
22-inch widescreens?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Any other questions? Any other topics or comments for the finance meeting? Okay, I'd like to thank all of you at the Skyward Conference for taking time out to join us and be able to participate in all of these important discussions, because they were really your projects. So I really appreciate you stepping away from the conference and probably delaying your supper as well. So. Thank you much, and unless you have an overwhelming desire to stay with us, you may be able to go on your way for the remainder of the evening.